Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country. Today's Thursday, June 14th, 2012. My name is Sally Baptist. I'll be hosting the show tonight, and my co-host is Charlie Quine. He'll be joining us momentarily. First off, wish everybody a happy Flag Day. Yes, today is Flag Day, and we're going to talk a little bit about what Flag Day is. But we're going to be talking about several other things. Last night we had an excellent show. If you were not able to listen to the show last night, please go back to the archives on demand and play it. You will learn a lot about the formation of the U.S. Corporation, the Act of 1871, which is what created the U.S. Corporation, U.S. Inc., the United States Inc., and how this impacts your status, your citizenship, your voting rights, various things that it means. And it was just an excellent discussion. So if you get a chance, if you were not able to listen last night, please go out there and listen to it. I think you will find it very informative. And tonight we're going to talk about the missing 13th Amendment, which kind of plays into that a little bit. What it means, who's in public office, do they really belong there? Do we, in fact, have unconstitutional public servants, those who are there who don't belong there? And I think you're going to see that, yes, so that's really what the case is. And then we're going to also talk about the fiduciary duties and how these public servants do not do their job and what we should do to hold them accountable. What are the legal remedies that we have since we, by ourselves, we can't simply go out there and impeach them? But we do have some other options, and we're going to get into that as well. And then, for those listening, please call in if you have any questions or comments, 347-857-4364, 347-857-4364. Make sure you press 1 to be placed in the queue and speak on the air. If you do not press 1, we will not know that you want to speak on the air, and we'll think you're just out there listening, which is okay, too. And the other is, what else was I going to mention here? excuse me. I've lost my place there. But anyway, we're going to talk about some of these things, especially this missing 13th Amendment that was just, I found it very interesting as to what happened there. And the games that we have been played, government by deceit, which is what our show was called last night, excuse me, and we just find the more you know, the more you realize you don't know. The more you know, the more you realize that it is so critical that we the people get involved. And we've got to stop being we the sheeple. It's time to be we the people like we're supposed to be in a free society. The other thing, too, just for those who aren't as familiar with American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, we're here because we believe we've been invaded by the politicians. Everything, what we talked about last night on the show, what we're going to be talking about tonight, we've got to realize that it's not the it's not Al-Qaeda that we have to fear. It is those in public office. They're the ones that are destroying this country. And we've let them. We're the ones who stood on the sidelines, not doing anything about it, and we let them take over. We let them violate our rights in every which way. We've let them sell off our country, which when we talk about the United States Inc., United States Corporation, how they are able to just sell anything they want to whoever they want. They have put us into so much financial hardship and the crisis we are facing. It's unbelievable what they have done to sacrifice our rights and sacrifice this country. It's just amazing. And so, you know, we just realize that we've got to do something. We the people have to do something. And that's what we're here for. We are nonpartisan, non-commercialized. We are here strictly sharing information, coming up with a plan, getting people involved, helping to come up with things that we can do to make a difference, to protect the future of this country. So on that note, let me go ahead and invite Charlie to join the discussion here. And, hey, Charlie, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing just fine. We had a very good show last night. It was late here, 9 o'clock, for the benefit of those on the West Coast. But we had a good turnout and a lot of, how would you say, enjoyable conversation and problem solving. And I learned something today, too, Sally, that really flips me out. But this is for the benefit of all people. if you want to get involved in your country, which you need to do, otherwise you will be like the Germans were being dealt with by the Nazis, and like the Russian citizens were being dealt with by the communists. They had no clue as to what was going on, and they thought their life was really top-notch, but it was a pits. It was like everybody was in poverty except the Politburo, those in power. So that means what's happening now in the United States of America is getting to be close to that. And along with the aid of, unfortunately, the media that is allowed to use your airwaves. Now, Sally, I did look at some things, and I did get some emails today that are quite interesting.
Okay, and we did before, before we go into that, I was going to go ahead and just have a brief chat about the fact that it's Flag Day today.
Very good idea.
And then we're going to get knee-deep into the missing 13th Amendment and then all the other stuff, too. So I don't mean to cut you off there, but because I'm afraid what you're getting into is some of the other things we're going to talk about later on in the show, I think.
Yeah. Do the honor to the flag, because the honor of the flag is what keeps this country going. Because
exactly.
If you do not honor the flag of the United States of America, you really are not a citizen or an American, as far as I'm concerned, because the flag is what holds us together. The flag is what we fought for right from the very beginning. In Fort Henry, when the British were holding Americans in the belly of the ships, chained in the belly of the ships to take them to England, to put them in prison, people at Fort Henry were protecting the rampart, the flag of the United States at that time. And after the British shelled that fort, they went there when they had stopped the shelling, and there were piles of bodies holding up the flag of the United States. People died for that flag. They died for it in Iwo Jima, on Normandy, and all across this world, so that we could be a free America, where people can enjoy their freedom. So this coming July 4th, Independence Day, you need to celebrate Independence Day and honor this great country and all of those who made it possible for you to be enjoying Independence Day. So when you have your dig into one of those hot dogs or hamburgers at your picnic or barbecue or whatever you're having, think about the servicemen laying in graves at Arlington Cemetery and all across this world who are there because they wanted you to have freedom and enjoy this great country and your life. They sacrificed for you. So don't forget this. Now, today's Flag Day, the day that we honor our flag, it's over now. It's sundown here on the East Coast, and most flags are taken down. However, you should be raising your flag up every day if you're an American, and proudly display it, all in good weather. That's what I have to say. Believe in your flag, love your flag, and love this great country, or you can always leave the way you came in, unless you were born here.
But you can always leave.
But you can always leave, right.
The flag, you can always leave.
That's right.
Well, let's go ahead and just a couple of the history questions. Let's see. The magic date, it was June 14th, 1777, when the Second Continental Congress selected the flag of the United States. That was when it first had the 13 stars on it. It was 1916 when Woodrow Wilson signed the proclamation making June 14th National Flag Day. And it was 1942 when Franklin Delano Roosevelt stated, "The belief in man created free in the image of God is the crucial difference between ourselves and the enemies we face. God of the free, grant us victory over tyrants who would enslave all free men." And then this one here I find is really interesting, too, because we talk about it, but I really hadn't thought too much about the actual history of it. June 14th, 1954, It was Dwight Eisenhower that signed the Joint Resolution, Public Law 396, adding the phrase, One Nation Under God, to the Pledge of Allegiance. And it's amazing how many times we're challenging the rights to, we block the rights for people to say the Pledge of Allegiance and to say anything with God, yet we promote or allow others to promote their own religious beliefs in the middle of the streets. It's kind of interesting the things that One Nation Under God, the challenges that has created. But it was actually Dwight Eisenhower who signed that into law in 1954. So I thought that was kind of interesting too. And yes, go ahead.
Yeah. And what gets me is the ACLU will come after our Judeo-Christian heritage, but I haven't heard the ACLU going after any of the Muslim religion. When they are blocking the streets in New York, when they have prayer, right. National Prayer Day, but by George, if it's a National Prayer Day for our Judeo-Christian heritage, oh, the ACLU gets all up in arms, but I haven't heard them getting up in arms about anything that the Muslim religion does. Now, I wonder what that is. Would that fall under the heading of prejudicial treatment?
Because, discrimination is what I would call it.
Well, discrimination, but then again, they're prejudiced against Christians. But the whole thing is they're illegal. They are actually violating the constitutional rights of our Judeo-Christian citizens.
Okay, well, here's what I was told, or what I got some info on it, and for whatever it's worth on that, is they're claiming that the Muslims got a permit to go and do that in the middle of the street, and they're saying that the Christians should do the same. Why don't the Christians go get a permit and go do the same? So that's what they're trying to say. That's what happened with it. I don't know what the whole deal is. But how much they bend the rules to support and go along with what the Muslims want to do while they seem to discriminate against the Christians of this country.
Well, then, if there is a permitting requirement to be able to pray in the streets and pray or whatever it is, then that means that, okay, the Christians, our Judeo-Christian society would have to go get the permitting, and that hasn't been published or broadcast on our airwaves. So that would mean that the ACLU did not go to ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox and tell them to make sure that everybody understands this, and our government never did the same thing. Because I'm sure that if it's just a matter of permitting, the Christian society should be able to go there and get a permit just as easy as the Muslims do. Now, if the Muslims are being able
to... Did they? And I don't know that the Christians have gone out there and tried to get a permit. I would like to see them get a permit to do the exact same thing, and then if they are treated differently, then we have something else to talk about. But
I mean,
they
should try, but it just seems to me like the media should have picked up on this and said something so that they would warn or it could advise the Christians. Good. I'm going to bring that to the attention of my church when I go there. I'm going to mention that. Because I think that's what we have to do, is we have to get a permit to do this thing. We just got a blanket permit just like the Muslims do. They have a permit to go in. That's right. I mean, what the heck? We'll get permits to put up nativity scenes, put up crosses on our taxpayer property with the understanding that we clean it up and bring it back to its natural thing after, say, 30 days of use or something like that. I think that'd be okay. That'd be fine. I'm glad you actually have a copy of that, right?
Well, like I said, somebody sent me an email talking about it, so I'd have to take it to the next step. They said that their comment was, well, that's because the Muslims got a permit to do that. Why didn't the Christians do the same? So I have to go to take it to the next level and say, well, did the Christians go seek to get a permit to do the same thing and whatever? So
yeah, right. And if that's strictly a hearsay email that you got too,
made. They made it sound like it was a statement of fact that the Muslims got a permit. Do I have a copy of the permit the Muslims got? No, I don't. I would have to go to New York and see if I could get a copy of the permit. But I'll forward you the email that I got it on, and you can take a look at it and see. It was just that they make it quite a plain statement that they were granted a permit to do that. So we've got to find out.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, when we're finished, then we'll go on to the missing 13th Amendment. Because I think the missing 13th Amendment is so interesting because it's in public office today. And then, of course, that leads into our other discussion about be there and how they violate their fiduciary duties kind of thing. So,
my favorite new topic, right?
Yes, and I think I see I'm out there listening. So once we get into that subject, he may want to join in with us because he was the one who shared the information with us.
Well, wanted to come in right now and talk about the fiduciary thing, because I'll tell you what has happened over this weekend or the last couple of days, I think it'd be quite interesting in the update that we have going.
Okay, well, we've got 2 hours here. Yeah, we've got 2 hours here, and again, I'm going to talk a little bit about this missing 13th Amendment because it impacts who's in office.
Okay, go ahead.
I just think this is kind of interesting. And on the show page, I put a couple of links out there for people who are not familiar with the missing 13th Amendment. You can go out there and there's a YouTube you can go to and watch. And then I also gave you another link to a site that has an awful lot of information about it. And I'm going to read what the missing 13th Amendment, the actual text of it is.
Okay.
And then we'll talk just briefly about it, and then it leads into this other part of the discussion.
Okay.
The 13th Amendment, if any citizen of the United States shall accept, claim, receive, or retain any title of nobility or honor, or shall, without consent of the Congress, accept and retain any present pension, office, or emolument of any kind, whatever, from any imperial king, emperor, king, or foreign power, such person shall cease to be a citizen of the United States and shall be incapable of holding any office of trust or profit under them or either of them. And the whole point is, what the 13th Amendment, watch the YouTube on it, and you read, get into the detail. The whole idea of the 13th Amendment, as I've understood history, that everybody was to be treated equal. You were not supposed to be any type of elitist, which is what we call all the public servants today. The elected public servants are this group of elitists, but that's not acceptable. You were not supposed to be any title of nobility or honor. And at that time, those who were truly lawyers and bankers and lawyers were considered to be nobility of types. So they would not have been allowed to be in public office. They would have not been allowed to serve in public office. And the whole thing was, it was supposed to be citizen representation, citizen representatives, and not this elitist class that they have become. And if you look at the missing 13th Amendment, what happened, it had been ratified by all the states except Virginia when the War of 1812 was happening. And there's information that says that, yes, it was actually ratified by the state of Virginia. And, in fact, the state of Virginia had actually included it in their own state constitution. But somewhere along the way, it was like it was never fully ratified, even though technically it was. If you look at the history, it was. But because they didn't like this fact that it was excluding the nobility of these people and allowing the monarchy to actually, to a certain degree, get into public office, people from it, people who were involved still with Great Britain and whatever else, they tried to dismiss it like it never existed. They just vanished from into thin air. And so when you think of what this truly means, how many people who are in public office today would not be allowed to be there if that 13th Amendment was there. So how many unconstitutional public servants do we have in office today? I would dare say that well over half of them, probably more like 70-75% of those who are in public office today, would not be allowed in there if the 13th Amendment was enacted like it's supposed to be. And I just find that extremely interesting because of everything to do with special interests. The 13th Amendment was supposed to stop a lot of what we have in public office today. You weren't supposed to be there being compensated and rewarded for being there and doing things for other people, special interest. I find that just totally amazing. And again, you can see the history. We knew that there was a problem. You had to be careful who was in public office. You had to limit who could be in public office. Now, is that to say that lawyers shouldn't have been allowed to be in public office? Well, I think there might have been a case to not have lawyers in public office. I don't know. And then what was the other? There was one other piece about this. The other piece was where it was explaining about the lawyers and how lawyers and bankers were actually considered, a title of nobility, that they were given this higher classification, whatever. And the other part was when it came to being a district attorney and a judge and things like that, you never had to be an attorney to do that. In the past, that was never part of the deal. It was actually frowned upon because they wanted citizens there. They wanted citizens to be in charge of this government, not to have nobility in office, not to have this royalty, this mentality, the elitist. And that's exactly who we've got. And you look across the board, that who's on the bench. Everything that the 13th Amendment was trying to avoid, we have today, and I think we see the problems it's created. And on that note, now we will go over into Charlie's subject, and let's get into the nitty-gritty. And again, to me, I just think if you look at the missing 13th Amendment, please go take the time to see the YouTube and go to this website and pull up some of this information. There's a lot of information on it. And appreciate what it means. What would happen today if we had the 13th Amendment enacted like it's supposed to be? How many people would not be in public office today? Who would not be allowed in public office today? I think it's really interesting. Anyway, on that note, let's go back to you, Charlie, on the fiduciary duties. And then also, Tom, I see you out there. Just let me know. Just push the one button when you're ready to jump into this discussion, because you definitely brought this to our attention, and it was excellent information. Charlie, back to you.
Yep. And since Tom is listening, I want to thank you, Tom, for waking us up and waking the people up, because what happened last night, Tom, was one of great, how would you say, revelation. As far as I was concerned, I could not sleep last night because of what happened in the last 20-30 minutes of the show. We were talking, as Sally said, about the 13th Amendment, about the corporate America and the Constitution America. But then we got into some other topics, and one of them was I was able to put in, because of what Tom sent me, ladies and gentlemen, was about fiduciary, and it came from Black's Law Dictionary. And I'm glad he got a copy of it, because I understand that every so often when there is some litigation in there, some lawyer comes up with another definition of the word fiduciary, that the Black's Law may go ahead and make some minor changes or whatever. But anyway, when I brought this to the attention of the other people, and there were quite a few people listening in on the Blog Talk Radio show last night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, I said a fiduciary relationship created by express or implied contract or by law in which one party, the agent, may act on behalf of another party, the principal, which would be the citizens, and bind that other party to words or actions. So that means, just like in a relationship on real estate, the agent is the fiduciary responsible for making sure that he handles your real estate transaction properly and with your best interests at heart and not his own. Well, that also falls true for our elected officials. Their fiduciary responsibility is to represent we the people, not those who put them in office financially, the special interests, the lobbyists, or anything, or any kind of PACs, or the two-party system, or the three or four parties. They are not supposed to be concentrating on those people. They're supposed to be working for the good of the American people, and especially for the good of America. Well, with that being said, this mouth on Charlie happened to open up, and I said that, you know, there is one thing that we probably have a right to do because of this fiduciary duty, and that is we haven't had a budget passed by the Senate in, I believe it was 3 years, and somebody said, yes, 3 years. I said, it is a constitutional requirement and mandate, which means it must be done every year in the month of February by the Senate, the budget for the United States of America on how our money is going to be spent and how much money they are planning on taking in must be finalized. That means defense spending and you name it. For 3 years, ladies and gentlemen, the Obama administration, let's say, they have not done their job. I'm talking about the Senate of the United States of America. So I mentioned this in a little bit briefer form than I'm saying right now because we were right at the last 10 minutes of the show. But the response was overwhelming. Let's start doing it. It is already out in the internet. People are sending this out. And now what it is we have to take the action. And the action is we have every intention of going after Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, who has failed in his fiduciary duty to bring forth the budget for the United States of America over the last 3 years. And get this now, the Republican Party has passed a budget and presented it to him, so Senator Harry Reid is sitting on it. He has not even passed it on to committee for consideration, which is his duty. His duty for we the people. The people of the state of Nevada voted him into office, and he has failed to present we the people with our constitutional budget of the United States of America. That, ladies and gentlemen, is a fiduciary duty violation of the highest degree. However, let's add on top of that now, after we've had that show, the fact that Sally and I were at the Tea Party, the April 15th Tea Party at Lake Eola here in Orlando, Florida, working the booth for the Go People, getoutofourhouse.com. And let me tell you, Sandy Adams, Congresswoman Sandy Adams, came by and says, things wouldn't be so bad, but Senator Harry Reid is sitting on over 40 bills that were passed by the Republicans or by the House of Representatives, And they have not come out of committee. So over 40 bills that were approved of by the both houses, the Democrats and Republicans, in the House of Representatives. And he has sat on them. He didn't even send them to committee where they could be considered and discussed in a bipartisan manner for the good of this great country. There may have been something in there that would help our wounded warriors or other people with debilitating medical problems. He doesn't know because he didn't give them to the committees to go over. That's a total violation of their fiduciary duty. Now let's add it on a little bit more. Senator Harry Reid, Majority Leader, is a Democrat. The Democrats are in control of the Senate. He doesn't think he could get the votes for these things, so he doesn't put it up, which means now we have the Democrat Party in the Senate violating their fiduciary responsibility to at least try to go over these bills in committee to see if they can work out some kind of an arrangement that would be good for we the people. So there's fiduciary duty number two that has now been violated by our trusted elected officials who promised to work for the good of we the people and the United States of America. Now let's add one more little caveat to this thing. Now we have the Republican Party in the Senate. that is the minority. They are short by 10 or 12 votes or something like that. So they can't really do much until Senator Harry Reid and the Democrats decide to do something. However, there is something that they could have done and could have done. They could have filed a complaint, a violation of the fiduciary responsibility of the elected officials of the Senate on the Democrat side. They could have filed that in a court of law, but they decided not to. They've had 3 years to do it. They have done nothing except complain to give a little bit voice talk on the media. But they haven't pushed for it. They have been what I could like to refer to as mealy-mouthed, biased, beat-around-the-bush bullshitters. That is what the Republican Party is doing to this great country, failing in their fiduciary responsibility to make sure that the work of the people is being done properly by those elected to office. So thanks to Tom, we now have people in this great country who are patriots. Some of them are statesmen. They love this country so much they're willing to give their lives, their fortunes, and everything for the good of this country. Just like our founding fathers were willing to do it. Our founding fathers pledged all of their lives, their fortunes, their welfare, everything, when they established the Constitution of the United States with its honest intent for the benefit of all we the people from the tyrants that we elect into office. But now it seems to me like the tyrants seem to think that they are going to be in complete control of a free America. Thanks to Tom, we now have the fiduciary responsibility, which, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, is very interesting because there is a remedy. Yes, the remedy.
Excuse me one second real quick here. Yeah. We've had some comments. I just want to let people know there's been some comments out there in the chat room, and please go ahead and put things you want to say out there. We had some compliments about the show last night, and then, of course, there was some of the other comments about the 13th Amendment. We all know that lawyers are not good for office, so I wanted to make sure that I shared that with everybody. And then also, Tom has joined us. So Tom is on the air, Charlie. So any questions you want to ask him for his research on that, welcome, Tom.
Hey,
hello.
Tom. Good.
How you doing?
You want me to read the remedy that came out from that thing that you sent us?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay.
Let everybody know what they can participate in.
Right. This remedy is also what Tom sent us, and it's very short and simple, but it gives you an idea for those of you who say, what can we do, what can we do? Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's in black and white. When found guilty of breach, a fiduciary must return to the principal, which means to all of the taxpayers, all of the citizens of America, the benefits gained, such as pay, benefits, and profits obtained as a result of the relationship. Compensatory damages are also available. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that is a big statement. And let me tell you right now, offhand, before we get with Tom, because I'm sure he's going to have something to say about this thing, is the breach of a fiduciary duty, not representing the principal's best interest, which means we the people, not representing we the people properly. Self-dealing, making sure that they can do some insider trading, they can get money earmarks for their best friends, earmarks for their family members, such as a congressman in Pennsylvania. Acting outside the scope of the agency created. Double dealing outside, not working in the best interest of the United States of America. Profiting from the relationship without the principal's consent. In other words, we had a gentleman here who was a mayor and he made $112,000 profit in a 1 year investment of $100,000 on a land deal with a builder who did business with the county of which the mayor was overseeing. Isn't that something? So now there is another fiduciary breach. Concealing material information from we the people, from we the citizens. This is where Eric Holder is in violation of it. He failed to bring forth the material as requested by Congressman Issa or Senator Issa of California in the, what is that name on that thing again? The Fast and Furious, is it?
Yeah.
Okay,
Fast and Furious.
Fast and Furious gun dealing. Making material misrepresentations, lying to we the people. That's another one. Acting in the interest of another party to the detriment of we, the tax-paying citizens of America. Those, ladies and gentlemen, are things that we can go after each and every elected official in the United States on America on a federal, state, local, and whatever. We could go all the way down to the dog catcher if we wanted to, but the dog catcher is really in a reputable position. He's taking care of Fido and the cats. So I don't really like to use him as an example. Okay, Tom, to you. Thank you for this information, Tom, because it is hopefully going to be going viral in the Internet.
Well, that would be great if it could. I haven't passed it around yet to anybody because I wanted to see what worth it was to you guys with your ongoing complaint and stuff. And obviously, it's going to be worth something. It's going to have some judicial value along the way. So, I mean, if we can get that out to everybody, even in one-on-one emails, websites, you know, put it on American Statesman and stuff, get this information out so everybody can get a brief overview, a brief education of what this is all about. It speaks of the definitions of fiduciary duty. It speaks of remedies, as you were just talking about now. This is common law stuff where when there's a contract made between one or more, I should say two or more parties, you know, these are some of the performances and redress that could be directed towards a solution. So this is something the common man can address themselves. They could address it in a class action performance. You know, this is basic obligations that parties have when they come to an agreement. This is basic stuff without, you know, Congress waving their immunity around and trying to protect themselves, because that's one reason why they act as they do now, because they have these they have self-regulated immunity, which is bizarre that they can, you know, make themselves more immune than the common people that they're supposed to be representing.
Right.
It's an unfortunate part of how our republic has gotten away from us. If you can get this out in any form or fashion, if Go can get it out also, if it can be posted on American Statesman, if there's other organizations that want to post it and speak about it on their radio shows, this is one way to get this basic knowledge out to all the good people so they can consider, you know, performance and redress, either singular as individuals or in a class action performance. They may start perking some ears up because this is basic common law stuff, you know, and everybody thinks they got to delve into federal statutes and stuff like that. This is ABC law, and everybody can seek redress in one form or another on this.
Right.
I'd like to go back to what you were talking about with the Senate and such, part of your conversation got blocked out. I didn't hear it all, but what was the way you said that the House or the Senate minority could redress? You know, because in my opinion, both parties, you know, are negligent here, and both parties have breached their duty to the people. You know,
okay.
And I don't know. Yeah, if you could just go over that portion, I didn't hear that portion of redress.
Okay. Well, the part that I came up with is, number one, is Majority Leader Senator Harry Reid is in total violation because he controls all of the bills that come through the Senate. He appoints them into committees for the committees to be able to hash them out, which the committees are Democrat, Republican. He has been sitting on them. So the first part about it was is that the Democrat Party, which Harry Reid is a part of, has failed to make sure that these bills were brought into committee so that they could pass them. And they also failed to make sure that the budget, that they worked together with the Republicans to pass a budget for the United States in the last 3 years, which is mandated in the Constitution. So they're in violation of the constitutional mandate for we the people. On the other hand, the Republican Party has only given a little lip service. Oh, yeah, because the Democrats are not helping. They're not willing to talk to us. And they more or less just brush it under the table like they're not really that hard. The Republican Party had every right to go after them for violation of the fiduciary duty of the agents of the people, the Democrat Party, and any Republicans that would be on the side of the Democrat Party. So, therefore, the Democrat Party and the Republican Party, working separately but together, have violated their fiduciary responsibility to we the people. I was just merely trying to show that there are three different venues that we got right there, but we got them all under one. Failure to work on behalf of the people, violation of their fiduciary duty, which means there should be no way for them to get out of it now. We should be able to go there and fire each and every senator because they are not above the law. And it so states in our Constitution. We just have to do this to make sure that we do have a Constitution, because if we don't take action on this, then that means we the people are nothing but a bunch of serfs, a bunch of sheeple, a bunch of little... They're going to eventually come around and put little nose circles in your rings in your nose with a leash attached to it so that they can lead us around, because that's what they're doing.
Well, the people of America becoming sheep is something that's been done by design. That was intentional.
Right.
You know,
right.
That was intentional. Keep them fat, keep them lazy. And
right.
And as long as they're happy, you know, we can just drag them around by the nose as we
right.
see fit. You know, once in a while we'll throw them some breadcrumbs of redress when they complain about something so they think that they're actually getting something done. But overall, you know, it's by design that they keep the people, you know, too lazy and too apathetic
right.
to really perform their individual obligations as citizens in this
yeah.
government, because the government cannot function without the performance of the people. At least
right.
if you want to keep it in the spirit and the intent of the Constitution, the people must participate. They must
right.
participate. And I don't mean just going to vote, because that is
no.
such an important fact. Voting is such a very small part of their obligation as citizens to participate in their government. It's such a
right.
small part. Once you get them in, then you got to make sure that he upholds the oath that he's taken. You just can't sit back and turn the TV on and say, oh,
right.
well, my man's in, you know, so I can sit back. That's ridiculous, because we have that corrupt organization called lobbying, which basically negates your vote, and they start almost instantly to negate your vote once the individual's in, because they corrupt them with money and gifts and such, so which has been such an ongoing practice that nobody can discern what's right and what's wrong anymore, because they're all doing it. So
right.
there is, if there's no light shining through those smoky halls of Congress, you know, then everybody thinks they're okay. They're doing it because everybody else next to them is doing it. And that's
right.
the unfortunate part. That's the unfortunate part of the citizens not participating in government as they should. And I mean everybody should, to one degree or another.
Right.
But,
well, you know,
but
when,
what you were talking about as it relates to, you know, what, the one thing that's clear is the lack of a budget. That's a clear mandate that they violated. You know, bills being in committee, everybody could say we're doing reviews, we're doing studies, and studies taking longer than they're required, and those they can argue. But the one clear one that is a clear violation of their fiduciary duties and other duties, the very core of the oath of office is the budget. They
right.
all violated that.
That's
and
right.
I'm not sure what the processes are, but I would assume they could send a petition of redress to the Secretary of State, you know, and get something done. You know,
no.
there's got to be somebody they can. Well, when government fails to perform, I'm not sure who it is. But when government fails to perform, there's got to be somebody that you can send petition of redress to get them to make sure that they instill the spirit of performance back into the Senate or the House to get them back on. I just don't understand why there's no compelling duty here. There's no compelling rule of law, if you will, that makes these people get back down to the table and set up a budget, because that's their mutual obligation. Their obligation is to the people, not to the party, not to the Democrats or the idiot Republicans. You know, it's both of them, regardless of who they are. I don't care who's in there, independents, whoever, libertarians. Once they're in there, their obligation is to one and one person only, as the citizen of the United States.
Right.
And why there's nobody who can compel them to sit down, I don't understand. Maybe there is, but obviously neither party wants to stand up, and neither one has the gumption or the fortitude to stand up. I mean, they could have used the press on this too. They could have all got together and signed a petition, you know, demanding that the Senate, if you will, if they think it is the Senate who's holding us up, demand that the Senate perform accordingly by the rule of law, by the oath of office.
But they didn't do it.
But that's what I'm saying. So there's no such thing, and I'm sick and tired of it. I'm hearing it all over the place already. You know, it's the and it's even in the debates, you know, that are going on now. You know, my guy, your guy, my guy's good, your guy's bad. This is not a good guy, bad guy situation. They're both bad guys. They're both bad parties. They have neglected the United States of America for so many decades that we're at a point right now where, you know, there is no more U-turn. You just can't turn it around and make it better if they keep going at the way they're going, keep finger-pointing, because they're both at fault. They're both guilty. And it was up to me. I left to find a jail big enough to throw them all in, you know,
well, you
and
know,
start over.
Start looking for one, because what happened last night, yeah. Go ahead.
No, excuse me. We've had a question in the chat room, and someone was asking a little bit more about Tom's background. And, of course, I let them know that Tom is in Orlando these days. He's one of our local patriots that we work with. But I thought, Tom, you might want to tell them a little bit about some of your involvement up in the Northeast, because you definitely have a history. You know what it's like to be out there fighting the process. So if you just want to tell them a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I've been a community activist out in New York City, on Staten Island in particular, since around 1985. I was out there fighting for the rights of the people, which turned out to be actually a full-time job. I was president of a civic association. I was on the community board. I ran for city council in New York City, which is really a boondoggle of mass confusion over there. But one thing that was there at that time, and I noticed it degenerated over the years, there was a spirit of fighting for people's rights. It was phenomenal at one time, you know, and we didn't have computers then and the way of reaching out to people on the internet, but we would spend hours going door to door, putting flyers in people's windows and knocking on the door and stuff to get people out to protest and petition. To me, in the years that I was performing out there as a community activist, I felt the best way for the people to get their politicians to do their job, which was a shame because the politicians would only talk about doing their job but not doing it, was the art form, and I call it an art form of protest and petition. It was something that the status quo politician did not know how to handle. They did not know how to address a petition of 500-600 names. They did not know how to address the citizenry coming out there in force, protesting in front of their office or in front of the problem. Could have been a drug house, could have been an environmental hazardous area where we were trying to get them to perform. It was a variety of things over the years I encountered and dealt with. And they just did not know how to address us. So they conceded their ignorance and stupidity, and many of them are stupid, rest assured, and they worked with us. And we always dealt with it. We're not doing let's make a deal. This is not let's make a deal. We are the employers. You are the employee. And that's how we did it. Protest petition. We also included getting the media there. And the media in New York was much more aggressive than it is down here. And they would run for a good protest, or something like that. And we literally made the politicians perform, like it or not, because we had the documents, we had the truth, and we had it all behind us, and we had the support of the rest of the community. And granted, there was apathy even then, but I enjoyed doing that. I really did. It was very exhausting. I would literally go from one meeting to another after working hours, and sometimes you just forgot what meeting you were at because there was so many things going on, going to public hearings and speaking on various issues. Like I said, I've been doing it since 85, and came down here actually to get away from it because it's extremely stressful, and I know Sally knows that because Sally is very assertive and very aggressive when she knows she has the truth in her back pocket, and she's going to bring that truth to everybody out there. And unfortunately, there's a price to pay sometimes to be a community activist. We don't seek financial reward. We go out there for the rights and the truth of the people of the community we live and work in. So it's very exhausting stuff. I actually came down here to Florida to try to, get away from all of that, and got caught up in what was going on here in Florida when Orlando tried to disrespect one of the citizens, which was me. So, there's the old adage that you cannot fight City Hall. Do not believe that. I fought City Hall in New York, and I fought City Hall in Orlando, and because the truth was with me, I won both times. Long fights, hard fights, but you could do it. Whoever's listening now, whoever is emailing and asking questions, you can do it. It takes as long when you know in your heart that you and your community is being disrespected, being ignored, and being trampled on by the elected officials who promised to be by your side and to help you. When you know that truth is on your side, nobody can stop you. I grant you that. And is it easy? No. It's a lot of hard work, but if you're a good American citizen and you know that Constitution is with you and it's part of your lifeblood, then you're going to become victorious. I guarantee you that. I know that from the practices that I did, and I know there's people down here in Florida that also have that same drive and that same determination to get the truth out, to help their local citizens. It's not like the politician who was constantly being self-righteous and promoting himself along the way for something simple that he did. It was his job. But they take that and they make it look what I did. It's not like that when you're a community activist. Being a community activist is an honorable performance. You don't seek reward. Unfortunately, sometimes, people don't even know who you are. But the idea is, and what's the most beneficial and gracious thing ever is the results that help the community. They don't even have to know who you are. When the results of your hard work is shown and it's out there and something good has happened for the community, that's the best reward there is. Not a title of congressman or senator. Those are phony, fake titles. They're meaningless. But the reward, it's the reward of your performance that means everything. And I know there's community activists out there like Sally and Charlie who have done more than most of these elected officials. And yet it's the elected officials that get the recognition. That's a sad but true fact. Anybody listening who feels you can't or you don't know what to do to help your community, I always used to tell people when they asked me, what can I do? I've never done this before. I said, do you care? Do you care about your neighborhood? Do you care about your family growing up in a good community? And they would, obviously they would all say, yes, we do care, but we don't know what to do. I said, well, you already started because you care. You have that foundation that you can build on. Then you take the talent that you have, and everybody in the community has a certain talent. You combine that with your neighbors. You combine your talents with their talents. And before you know it, you have a force that no elected official can oppose. They have to listen to you because I've always said the power of this government, the power of this country is the people. We the people. It's basic. It's simple, but it's very real. It's very true. You have that power. You join up with your neighbors. You take your talent. You combine it with theirs, and you'll be surprised what a phenomenal force you are because it's your country and it's your government. And I hope I didn't go on too long. I don't want to bore you with – I don't want to bore anybody with some of the battles that I fought in New York. You know, some of them were noteworthy, and some of them, you know, hit major press also. But the idea was it was the people. It was always us who were out there fighting. And, many times we were victorious because we have a constitution that's based on the people. And in most other countries, we wouldn't have been able to do some of the things that we did to seek redress for the people. And that's why people should understand that and embrace the country they got before they lose it.
Got a question,
the other thing,
go ahead, Sally.
Just to let other people know that for a short time, Tom and I were on a county board. It was the Orange County Soil and Water Conservation District. So we actually worked on a public board, which was I was elected to the board, and Tom was an associate because he had been on a board up in New York. And it was a non-paid – I mean, this shows you how crazy the system is. We met once a month. There was no pay, no compensation for it. When I wanted to run for the Orange County mayor, I had to resign from this board to run for the mayor. I could not stay on a board where it met once a month and paid nothing while I ran for the Orange County mayor. Yet you have people who still continue to get paid as a senator, as a congressman, or whatever else, a congressperson, while they run for other offices and they spend all their time traveling and everything else. Well, the system is definitely definitely squirrely, to say the least. But it was because of doing that kind of stuff that, again, I learned more and more about what the system is. And we truly do have more power on the outside. We have to unite as a people, like Tom was saying. If we come together, unite as a people, and take action about the issues, we will be successful. We have got to get past this idea that these people are royalty, this nobility. That's why I was talking about the 13th Amendment. These people don't even belong there. We got the wrong type of people in public office, but it's up to us to do what we can, and we can do a lot from the outside. Back to you, Charlie.
Yeah. Tom, you did such a good job on getting us some of this fiduciary information that started the ball rolling. Can you do some more research and maybe come up with some cases or something, some more information? Because we have people all across this country now who are spreading names out, and they are getting in touch with people who are, legally associated with the legal profession. And they are also patriots. And we have and from what I've received so far, and this is just from last night now at 9 o'clock our time, this morning when I was going through them this afternoon, I've already got names of people who are definitely interested of getting on board and doing something in regards to the fiduciary violations of the fiduciary, which is violations by our elected officials. Likewise, we the people said no to the rail system 3 times. The Orange County commissioners voted for it to overthrow and tell us our vote doesn't count. That's a violation of our fiduciary. And I'll tell you what, eventually we'll get somebody to go after them. But the thing is right now we're concentrating on, like we said, we have the Senate in violation of their fiduciary duty for the past 3 years. There is nothing that they can do over the last 2 years. That's gone. When we go past the budget and they've already started spending money on different things, they are in total violation of their fiduciary responsibility. So this is 3 strikes against Harry Reid, who's been in there for all those times. It's a 3 strikes against also the Democrats and the Republicans who are in office. And I don't care what it says. If we're supposed to replace them every 2 years, they're in bad behavior. They're in violation. We should be able to, through the courts, bring them on because there is a way to replace them. We can have, how would you say, emergency elections to replace those who we remove from office. So I believe everything is on the way our founding fathers developed it is in favor of we the people. We just have to make sure we stay together and work together to get all of the information we need about the wrongs of our elected officials. And that is why Sally and I filed that complaint with We the People versus the Ballot Box Establishment with the FBI, which, by the way, we still have not heard how far they've gotten with it. Are they looking into it or what? But
well,
eventually
Charlie,
that...
Charlie, let me just mention one thing just real quick, too. When we're talking about, like, the Funrail / Scamrail deal, there's two things that happened because we, the people at the ballot box, had said we didn't want it. So there was no doubt to the public servant, the elected public servant, where the people stood on the issue when they were asked about it. However, at the same time, there is this part, you know, we do elect these people to represent us, which goes into this part that they're the agent. They are a representative and the agent, and we are, in fact, the principal, and they are supposed to be working on our behalf. So say that, yes, we voted against it, but then something happened, and for whatever reason, some circumstance had changed, and then they were going to act, you know, say, well, we need to look at this again, and because some circumstances changed, they're going to decide to go with the scam rail, as we call it here in Central Florida. But the key element, and this is where the breach of their fiduciary responsibility is the fact that when you go and you look at scam rail, it's nothing but a negative to us. It will make our traffic gridlock worse. It will cost us more money in taxation. It will create more government jobs that we'll be liable for. It will, again, mess up transportation as well. It actually creates gridlock. What they have done is a negative, is a detriment to us. It does not benefit us. It does not make our situation better. So that's where they, even as a representative, because that's what they're going to come back and say, they're going to say, well, wait a minute, you elected us to represent you and make decisions for you. So we did this for you because you elected us to do this. The breach is the fact that their actions are serving CSX, not the people. They were not elected to represent CSX. They were elected to represent me and you. And that's where we have to understand about this fiduciary responsibility where we go out there and we quantify. Here's what the damages are. How much are my taxes going to go up for something that I don't want? How much time am I going to lose in traffic because now they're creating more gridlock at these rail crossings because in Florida you don't have subways for some crazy reason, you know, called sinkholes and everything else, and those kind of things. So their actions are detrimental to us because they're out there serving CSX and their special interest, not us. And that's where we got to focus on the lawsuits when we go after them for this breach of their duty. I'm sorry. I had to rant about that a little bit. And I think, Tom, you were about to say something, and we got a couple people out there who want to join in the discussion. So, Tom, go ahead, and then we'll bring them in.
A couple other things. I just wanted to go back to that out. People need to research this, too. And unfortunately, my memory doesn't serve me well tonight, so I can't remember everything. But to show how bad we've gotten, how corrupt the government has become its own central nucleus of doing what it wants, do some research, good people, on constitutional convention. If memory serves, we've had for years now enough states sign in. And I forgot what the majority was that you needed to get the amount of states to sign
38.
Up. 38. Requesting a constitutional convention. And what the United States government has done, because we must remember, the United States government and the United States of America are two separate entities, sad to say. The United States government has actually brought up the court. Some of the courts have ruled that they didn't have to. And I believe this was Congress who did this, didn't have to hold a constitutional convention regardless that we met the standards within the Constitution to hold one. This has been going on for quite some time now. People need to research this. This has been going on, and it's frightening because they're afraid when you have a constitutional convention, you open the doors for the people of America to come in and say, this is the changes we need. They do not want you to have what is the ultimate voice. And do some research, good people. You will find out that your own Congress has been suppressing your right to hold a constitutional convention, though they have had, and if memory serves, it's been for quite some years now, they've had more than enough signatures from the states in this United States to hold a constitutional convention. It's been suppressed by obviously politically leaning judges who obviously have skeletons in the closet that they don't want Congress to throw out to the public, so they cooperate with Congress. This is a scandal that goes so deep. And what does that have to do with what we're talking about now? Well, this very issue, the very issue. We need and we seek redress. And at every turn, they suppress it. They deny it. They refuse it. And they don't have that right. But this is what's been going on. So, you know, when the government of these United States finger point to how oppressive it is in other countries, remember, you're being oppressed here. You may not feel the pressure, but the oppression is there. It's very real. So I as you were discussing this, it just popped up in my head. This is another avenue that's holding back the people. They're denying us our opportunity to speak, be heard, and to get solutions. So yeah. People do the research. You'll find out how shocking it is.
Yeah, I think that's the 28th Amendment that you were talking about, where Congress will be held to the same, same rules as they make. When they make a law, they're supposed to be held to it. I mean, according to the Constitution and the mandates of the Constitution right from the beginning, nobody is above the law, not even the Supreme Court of the United States. They shall hold their offices for life during good behavior. If we the people go ahead and file a complaint against the Supreme Court justices for violating the thing, and we can prove that they were in violation, let's say, on kicking out prayer in school, all five of those justices could be removed from the Supreme Court because that's the way the Constitution is designed.
The problem is, there is no sheriff in town to handle this. Who are you going to call, Eric Holder? There's a man who had this clear, distinct evidence that there were people out there in the last presidential election trying to subvert the vote, to suppress the vote, to put fear in people's hearts while they were voting. It's called the New Black Panthers. They were out there. There was evidence. There was photos. There was testimony. And this man refused, simply refused. And he's the main sheriff. He's the Wyatt Earp of Washington, D.C. And what has he done? Nothing. So who do you call and say, you know, address the problems with the Supreme Court? It goes back to what I've been saying for decades. There is only one power in this country, and it's we the people. There is nobody else. You can't. We're at a point, and I know this is repetitive sometimes, we're at a point where sitting across from each other at the table may no longer serve this country if we want this country to survive. The power has to turn back to the people, and there are ways that has to be done.
Tom.
Hey, and okay, yes. We got a couple people who want to chime in here. Yeah. Let's,
all right. Let me say one
John.
Thing about it.
Yeah. Okay.
Let me say one quick thing, and then we'll go to the people. Tom, you have sent us the fiduciary responsibility duties of the elected. You have opened the door to close the door on all of those who are close the cell door behind those who are in violation of our constitutional rights. You have actually opened the door and opened our eyes to the possible and probably the greatest solution to the problems of America.
Well, let's wait and see, but I want to hear what these other callers have to say.
Oh, yeah, me too now.
Okay,
go ahead.
John, I got you on the air, and Doreen, I'm going to open your mic, but last time I heard some music. So, John, what are you thinking tonight?
Hi, how's everyone doing tonight?
Great.
I just posted a link on the.
John, I got you on the air, and Doreen, I'm going to open your mic.
John, could you turn your radio down?
Yeah,
I don't have a radio. I apologize.
Well, if it's the internet you're listening to it, you can maybe mute the speakers on the internet. There we go.
Okay. Let me turn it off. I just posted a link on the page, on the blog page. I was listening to a conference call the other night with the Sheriff Max Constitutional Posse.
Yeah.
And there was a gentleman on there by the name of Paul Antonori. He is a veteran trial lawyer out of New York that is already working on what Mr. Tom was just talking about, the Constitutional Convention. And I suggest you get to that link and maybe try and get in touch with him. He is very aggressive with this Constitutional Convention. Just like Tom said, the people cannot be denied this convention. And I listened to him speak for a good half hour, 45 minutes. The man is brilliant, in my opinion. And, I mean, he bring out things that I never even heard of. So I suggest that everybody try to get in touch with him, try and learn. The show was about the, the Fifth Amendment, maybe? I don't remember. I got so many things going on. But it was all about the Constitution. And, I mean, this guy is a true patriot.
Okay. I'll make sure I send out that link to as many people on our list as I can so everybody sees it. And also the link for the Obama challenge thing as well.
Yeah. And I just had one other comment and take another caller. I sent Sally, I sent you a link, a couple of links, and I sent Charlie these links about your complaint. And I didn't send those to be derogatory toward your complaint. I think your complaint is awesome. I just don't know, because I'm not a lawyer and I don't claim to be, but from what I've been told of people that have looked at it, you got to look at the capital letters and how it's presented, because that may be why you're not getting any response. And I don't personally know how to do it, but there's people out there that have legal background that would be able to look at it and tell you if you have, like, all capital letters, for example. If you look at those links I sent you, it explains a lot. And I just sent that all to you to try and help you guys get more of a response for what you've done, because I know that was a lot of work. And I'm only trying to help.
Okay. Well, and that's good. And, you know, when we turned this in to the FBI, we didn't go in there as attorneys. We went in there as citizens with a complaint. And we provided more documentation than most people would do from a truly perspective of a complaint, not filing a legal suit. And, you know, if and when we have to take it to that next level to actually file it as a suit in court, which we shouldn't have to do, the FBI should do their job and investigate the obvious corruption. We would, you know, go out there. I know what you're talking about, putting everything in caps. This kind of goes into the United States Inc. when you have to have everything in caps. It's formality,
right.
But point well taken.
Other than that, I'm all for that Constitutional Convention. I really am, and it sounds like an unbelievable idea, and we should be able to do that. Nothing should be able to stop we the people. These bozos that are all in these congressional offices all work for us.
Well, I'll tell you, I am very happy with the response we're getting so far regarding the fiduciary responsibility thing, because more and more people are starting to hear about that too, and that may open up the door for a lot more. Oh, and I called the local courts here. And one girl, she didn't commit herself because she wasn't. She said she thought that the fee for filing a civil case was like $350. And when I mentioned that to somebody, they climbed out of their chair and said, "Why are they charging $350 when we pay for the courts out of our taxes?"
Right.
That's
exactly.
That's a very good point, because what it is in the state of Florida, it looks like almost everything is to make money in the form of fees. And the thing that we have to do is make sure that we have our rights not taken away from us, because I asked about pro se litigants, and they say, well, The girl said she didn't understand, she doesn't know anything about pro se litigant, but she suggested that I research that to see just what it takes. Because you can still be a lawyer yourself, represent yourself, but there are certain rules you have to follow.
Well, it's just like, why do you pay parking when you go to the courthouse? Our tax dollars paid to build that parking lot. Or
that's
pay
right.
Something to go over, a toll to go over a bridge. Our tax dollars paid to build these things.
Right.
Why
do they sell them to a foreign country? That is a violation of the fiduciary right there.
Absolutely. I believe that every one of these guys in office, and women too, have all violated their fiduciary duties. And I don't know if you guys know the representative out of New Hampshire, Harry Acanero, but Arnie knows him. And he's truly the only man in any representative government in our country that is a real patriot, because he is the first representative that came out and called for treason openly against Mr. Obama. He's the only one. I think there's one other one, but I don't recall his name. But Arnie's got their names. And that man, I mean, you can call him, you can talk to him. He's a real representative.
Right.
He is fighting for the people.
We need to get his email, because this fiduciary thing, I think once we start getting it out in the internet more and in Facebook and in Twitter and all this type of thing to the various talk show hosts, there's a lot of talk show hosts that can be easily accessed just by going into Twitter and then just printing their name up there and clicking on, and you'll go right to like Neil Bortz, Greta Van Susteren, and all that. A lot of people say about this fiduciary violation, I think it'll start opening their eyes as to the fact that we, the people, are starting to go after them, and that's what we have to do. We have to go ahead and find that. I think we found a little niche that we can go in there and start filing these complaints, and by George, we can go after everybody who has violated the trust of the people.
Hey,
and he is
Doreen's
on Facebook.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay, Doreen's out there, so I wanted to go ahead and let her have a chance to chime in. Doreen, what's on your mind tonight?
Well, first, Thomas, the attorney, is asking where he can see that complaint at that you're talking about that is being sent to the FBI.
AmericanStatesman.org.
Yeah, we have it posted on our website, AmericanStatesman.org. You can just
go
to the homepage, and there's a link that says click here if you want to make a difference. And you can see it's a banner right on the homepage.
Oh, okay. And I forgot y'all had a website. I'm sorry. And also, didn't we discuss last night that there would be a now my CRS is setting in. Oh, God. Hold on a minute. weren't we going to have a template? That's the word I'm looking for. Of the affidavit of truth that we were going to use to send to file this fiduciary action with? And wasn't that going to be posted on a constitutional constitutionalresourcecenter.com site?
Yeah.
Isn't that what we discussed last night?
And I can't remember if it's Arizona Sentinel that's doing it or if Arnie's doing it.
They have a website, constitutionalresourcecenter.com.
Right.
And
I believe Arnie sent that out today.
Okay, so it's there. So for the listeners that want to get involved, they can go to this website and get going on it.
Yeah, because we get that, we start sending that out there, and especially up to Washington, just with this show, the show last night and this show now, plus the fact that we've got it in the, it's already going in the internet, because I've got a couple of emails already that shows where it's, you know, it's gone to different people, and some of them are lawyers. I would say that the more people that send it out over this weekend, we should be hearing something from our elected official pretty quick.
Yeah, and I knew you were discussing that, so I wanted the people listening to know that the information and where it can be found so that they can get on this deal. And
well,
then go to AmericanStatesman. Is it .com or .org?
.org. AmericanStatesman.org.
And there is the complaint that Sally and them have filed with the FBI, and you can get in on that one also.
Yeah. Yeah. The complaint is that the complaint that we filed where We the People versus the Ballot Box Establishment is in AmericanStatesman.org and in some other locations too.
Yeah, I was so excited after last night's call. I mean, and hi, Arnie, I didn't know you were there. I was just beside myself because I know there's people like me that have been out there. Well, we're doing this and we're doing this and we're not getting anywhere. But this actually looks like something that will accomplish something. So I was just jumping up and down with joy.
Well, Tom is the one that alerted us to it about 2 weeks ago. And I don't know, is Tom still on?
Yeah, I'm still on. And as I said before, if you could take that outline, which explains what the definition, the various definitions are relating to fiduciary and the obligations and the remedies. If we could get that outline posted on, I don't know if it's on AmericanStatesman.org. If we can get that on there, if we can get that on other websites, and if we can email it to both, neighbor and friend, and get them all out there to understand this and give them a little brief education, that might assist in getting this thing out there that much faster throughout the whole country.
Yeah, if we can get on Facebook, if it hits Facebook quite a few times, it's going to start going there because just like our We the People, Sally, mm-hmm. I was shopping today, and a woman asked me, and I happened to mention We the People, and she said, oh, I saw that in an email. I got it over the email to go look at it, and I looked at it, and I love it. Just out of the clear blue. So it is going around. The complaint is getting around to other people that I never even talked to.
Charlie?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's definitely gone out there. I just want to also, we had some comments out in the chat room about the 13th Amendment. We were talking about that a little bit more towards the beginning of the show, but the whole point is with the 13th Amendment, if we properly implemented the 13th Amendment, and it was actually ratified, the history out there shows it truly was ratified, but we had the politicians, not statesmen, politicians, who were afraid of losing their jobs, the majority of people that are in public office today would not qualify to be a citizen representative because they're out there working for other people. Their nobility and their honor, they're taking gifts from the special interests, campaign contributions. All those things is what the 13th Amendment was trying to avoid, and we see exactly what's out there in office today. So if you have any questions about the 13th Amendment or want to call in and talk about it, please feel free to do so. 347-857-4364. Press 1 to go in the host queue. We've still got about 40 minutes left to go.
Sally?
Back to you, Charlie. Yes.
I posted the link for your guys' complaint on the chat room. So anybody can just click on it and it'll open it up.
Thank you for doing that. Appreciate it.
Not a problem.
Isn't it amazing how the 13th Amendment disappeared?
Hey, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Just like
and
Obama's records.
Exactly. It's just amazing how these people in public office modify and manipulate. Just like creating the United States Corporation. And I mean, the discussion we had on last night was just so interesting about that. And I don't want to spend too much time on that tonight, but it was just so interesting when you think of the United States Inc. and how we're talking about all caps and things like that on your license, how your name is in all caps, and how you're a corporate citizen, not a sovereign citizen, and all these different pieces. So anybody, if you did not get to listen or did not listen to the show last night, you might want to go back and play that back. The guy, Dink Robart, I think was his name, he was talking about this, and it was just excellent information on what has happened to the core, or the organic constitution versus a corporate constitution, and what citizenship means. So it was just interesting. Anyway, sorry, got off that.
Well, I'll tell you, the way things are going last night and with what Tom sent us, I would say that my vision of the future for this great country is that there are plenty of people who are active now, such as, you know, the Arizona Sentinel, American Statesmen Save America Foundation, which we will be talking to next week. We will be able to advise them about this, and I'm sure that we will be sending them emails about this. And the whole thing about it is it's going to start networking out to other people. And everybody, here's the way I'm visualizing it, and I am hoping and praying that this comes true now. Everybody who we have ever trusted and elected into a position or was appointed to a position who turned out to be a dirty, rotten, low-class, dishonest, unpatriotic scumbag will finally realize that they went against the silent majority a little bit too far, and that all of their wonderful wealth is going to be taken away from them and their families, because I'll tell you what, you can't hide that wealth, and you can give it to somebody else, but it is not yours if you got it erroneously. And triple dipping on a retirement or double dipping in retirement, to me, was a license to steal, and that was made by our trusted elected officials of the state of Florida called the legislature. And every one of them who voted for it, as far as I'm concerned, needs to be brought up on this charge as a violation of the fiduciary. So that's another charge that we can come up with later. But right now it's going after Harry Reid and the Senate for violating the rights of the people in this great country by failing to pass a budget.
It should be against both Senate and House, not one individual in particular, because they've all been negligent by their lack of performance in trying to bring this issue to resolve. None of them have done it. Harry Reid is just another person there. And you know, no. If anybody thinks a Senate leader has that much power, they're nuts. It's the lack of willpower by the remaining Senate and the remaining House.
I agree with
this,
you.
Man, to do it. So if a complaint is ever filed, it's against the House and the Senate, you know, jointly. Their lack of performance, their violation of oath of office, clear constitutional violation. That's why the budget or lack of budget is a clear violation. It's mandated, and they ignored it and violated it. And the president himself never once went up to the podium and demanded that they resolve this issue and present him with a budget. So, you
That's
know,
right.
If you wanted to, you could throw him in there also. You know, and it's just a sad commentary. And I can't believe I just called Obama the president. And I really,
yes.
I can't believe I just said that.
You're forgiven. But I'll tell you, there's one thing that I always love to put in this complaint that Sally and I made, and she knows it just drove her up the wall. I says, we always add to every name that we put on there, like we will put Senator Harry Reid, et al. ET-AL, that means and others, and that means everybody. We mentioned the House Majority Leader John Boehner, et al., Nancy Pelosi, et al., we've got them all. And I'll tell you what you said just now refortifies everything, because we have the one person who has sat on this thing for 3 years now, or 4 years, no budget for the United States of America, a violation of the Constitution. We have all 100 plus any senator that left office, and that's still above ground. We have all 500 and 435 members of Congress present, and those still above ground from the previous Congress. We got a lot of people. This fiduciary responsibility, Tom, is a big thing, because we the people, like you said, it says in the Constitution, reverts back to we the people, because you know the legislators of the states aren't going to do anything about it. The Congress isn't going to police themselves, because they don't do it now. Charlie Rangel's still walking around, and he violated the income tax laws. But Wesley Snipes is in prison. I mean, now that is something else. You know, Wesley Snipes goes to prison, but because Charlie Rangel's 80 years old or whatever, and he's a congressman, and he's the one that wrote the bills, or supposedly wrote the bills, he doesn't get anything for his violation of failing to declare his property on Santo Domingo that was for rent. They slapped his hands. They did nothing. So there we have all kinds of stuff, and now we have Harry Reid sitting on these bills, which you said, and that was a very good thing that you said. We do have them on the budget, but we also have them on his failure to still pass up the bills that were could have been good for the citizens of the United States, but we don't know about them because they never went to committee. And he can say, well, they're
those are secondary.
Those are secondary.
You've got a clear-cut. You got a clear-cut violation in the budget or lack of. You know, that's clear-cut, and I would focus strictly on that.
That's what we're doing. Strictly on the budget.
Now
you've just added another thing, Tom. You said include the House of Representatives because they should have put pressure on the Senate more so than they did.
Could this action is not a partisan performance. There's only one country here. It's called America. And that's what they should have been focusing on. Instead, they stayed within their party lines, which shows that their dedication and their loyalty is to their party, not to the United States. It implies a performance in treason. It doesn't state it clearly, but it implies it, because they cared nothing about America. They only cared about their power base of be it a Republican or Democrat. And that's a clear that shows that their influence is not American. It's anti-American because their influence is only about themselves. But no budget causes irreparable harm to the people. There's no justification for – if you don't have a budget, by right, you shouldn't be spending any money because there's no way to justify expenditures. There's no way to account for income that's coming in through the tax dollars. There's no way to justify each because there's no line where they're both supposed to meet where you have equity in what's being spent and what's being taken in. So in point in fact, they should not be spending a penny because they have not designed a budget for spending purposes. Yet they're spending anyway, and that should be part of the complaint. You cannot spend if you don't have a budget.
Over $5 trillion.
But you see what I'm saying? If you don't have a budget, you can't spend the money because you can't justify the expenditures because you have yet to design a budget that's in compliance with all the elected representatives. So by law, technically, you should not be allowed to spend a single penny because you have yet to design a budget. How can you justify to the people what your expenditures are when you don't have a budget? You can't. Which means you can just go loose and fancy free with the people's money in a careless manner without justification. And they are accountable for that money. So this is pure negligence through their own arrogance. This is pure negligence. And if you file a complaint, it should be detailed in that manner because this is absolute violation. John Boehner, and I'm going to call him what his real name is John Boehner. I don't know why everybody's got to be so PC correct. I call him John Boehner. I am no grammar teacher whatsoever, but you show me how his name comes out to be John Boehner. I just don't understand that form of grammar. If he doesn't like the name John Boehner, then go legally change it. But stop trying to re-pronounce it, if you will. You know, I'm sick and tired of hearing a person go up there with a phony name. You know, be yourself. I'm dying to find one elected official who can be himself. I shake his hand.
Luck.
I can meet
the one guy up in New Hampshire that we heard about.
Yep,
There's one person in New Hampshire that we heard about. That's good. Okay.
He's awesome, man. He really tells it how it is.
Oh, he's good. And he's the one that got us that fiduciary thing going. He got me going over 2 weeks ago.
By the way, Charlie, I'm gonna go through the aisles of the Internet Library and try to find you some precedent, so you can use that to enhance your complaint when you submit it.
Oh yeah, because it's gonna get going, and we already have some legal people working on it, but Tom. We need to get something because they may be so busy they may not be able to research it. So if you can find something that we can get to Arnie and John and Richard, I mean, they'll get them to the right people then. We're getting more and more people constantly contacting Sally or me that they want to get involved in it, and we're going to do this. I mean, it's something that It may go, a lot of states may be filing the same type of thing, but I'll tell you what, the word's going to get up there, and as far as I'm concerned, did they ever occupy that prison, that prison that's either in Missouri or Minnesota that the people built? Did they ever fill that up?
Before we go there, we got a question out there in the chat room. Somebody who I think probably joined us a little bit later, who's asking for the our definition of fiduciary. So does anybody, either one of you guys,
you want the legal? How about the law dictionary?
Let's go to the formal definition from Black's Law, I think it was.
Well, no, I got the one from the law dictionary that you gave me a long time ago.
Well, that plus I think the one we were sending out too. So whichever.
I got the one that was sent out that I sent out to you all. If you want that one,
yeah, go ahead and read it.
Yeah.
Okay, fiduciary, one who owes to another the duties of good faith, trust, confidence, and candor. One who must exercise a high standard of care in managing another's money or property. And that's simply for the word fiduciary. Now, for fiduciary duty, a duty of utmost good faith, trust, confidence, and candor owed by a fiduciary to the beneficiary. A duty to act with the highest degree of honesty and loyalty toward another person.
And
then there's the definition of the agent and the principal. So, the representative in this case is the agent who we entrust to represent us. The people as the principal.
We the people are the principal, and our elected representatives are our agents, our servants. And now let me go to the law dictionary, the fourth edition. Okay?
Yep.
Law dictionary, fourth edition, Stephen H. Giffis, and here's what it says. A person having a legal duty created by his undertaking to act primarily for the benefit of another in matters connected with his undertaking, in the nature of a position of trust or holding confidence. So, the legal definition is right there, and we have our elected officials in regards to the budget for the United States of America in violation of their fiduciary responsibility for the past 3 years and possibly 4 years because they haven't put a budget for it. So actually, ladies and gentlemen, they are and have been in violation of their fiduciary duty, and that is a legal violation where we, the people of the United States, can seek restitution through the courts. And that's what we're planning on doing. And it's
all through the
Internet now.
They are acting to the detriment of the people. And the example, one of the examples of the, I'm not sure who that is. I got to go, I think that might be you, John. I'm going to go ahead and mute that so we don't hear that background noise. One of the examples, because there's more than just one type of fiduciary agent, representative, trust kind of thing, one of the examples was like a real estate agent. Well, a real estate agent has that trust, and if they do not represent you, you the principal, you the customer, in the best interest to making, to selling the house or doing whatever the deal is, then they have breached it. There were some other examples of the breach. I don't know if we
want to
give the
You want me
example.
To read them? I've got them right here. You want me to read them?
A few of those because that kind of relates to how we say an elected representative, how they breach this duty to us.
Right,
and
okay.
Then,
okay,
go ahead.
Okay, the breach of fiduciary duty. Now, here's some examples of it. Not representing the principal, which is we the people, our best interest. Self-dealing. Acting outside the scope of the representatives created. Profiting from the relationship without the taxpayer's consent. Concealing material information from the citizens. Hold on now. Okay. Binding the taxpayers without the taxpayer's consent to paying stuff off, such as the rail system here in Orlando. making material misrepresentations, acting in the interests of another party to the detriment of the taxpayers, which means working in the best interest of another country, of, let's say, the Solyndra, giving them $537 million of taxpayers' money with no way for the taxpayers to get money back. Those are the things that we have in our elected officials in violation of. Every one of those can be a separate violation in a very simple manner and put into court. And if we start doing that in every court across this country, in every state, our representatives on a federal, state, and local basis are going to be sucking gas, because we will go after them and get restitution for all of their violations. Right here in the state of Florida, because we are getting a 61-mile railroad that CSX is benefiting from with our federal tax dollars, our state tax dollars, and eventually our local dollars because of operating expenses in the future, every elected official who has forced this on us after we said no at the ballot box is subject to a violation of their fiduciary duty to represent we the people. Because we the people said no at a ballot box, we should have had the opportunity to say yes at the ballot box for this other rail system. But we were denied our rights, which is another issue. Back to you, Sally.
Hey, well, they're asking also, where is the fiduciary responsibility is created for the specific representative, say a congressional representative, where is that and what is the specific phrasing? No, it's the definition of what fiduciary responsibility is, and you are an agent. And because of the way that you, the representative is elected to serve you. They are your agent. So I'm not really sure if I'm understanding what your question is. That's what the definition of fiduciary duty and agent is. So you can go ahead and ask, see if you want to put another question out there. I don't know if I'm helping to answer your question or not. I mean, do I see something out there when we say congressional representative that puts that specifically? No, but when they take that oath of office, that's when it becomes. That's when they become the agent of the people. The people are the principal, and they are the agent. They are the ones doing the work on behalf of the people, and they are entrusted to do the work on our behalf. It's pretty
okay.
Simple, but they were not elected to do the work for CSX. They were elected to do it for us. Yeah, go
okay,
ahead.
Let me see. Okay, here we go. Okay, here's the one for the execution. It shall be taken by the President of the United States, but this will help you. I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. Well, the Constitution of the United States starts out with we the people in order to form a more perfect union. That means we the people. The Constitution is our guarantee that we will have the right to pursue happiness, we will have our freedoms, we will have our liberties that were granted to us by God Almighty, and also through this Constitution, those rights were granted. A like, pledge is also given by each and every civil officer of the United States of America, meaning the vice president, the senators, congressmen, the mayors, judges, and you name it. Everybody is supposed to give their oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States and to protect we the people. Now, they have violated their oath of office, therefore they are in violation of the Constitution. Because if you do not uphold the Constitution, we now have, in our situation here, in more than one case now, but this one that we are really working on, is we have, and it is mandated in the Constitution, which means the Constitution so states in one of the clauses that the Congress of the United States, the Senate of the United States, shall present a budget every year for operating the United States of America, a budget to the people, so we know how much money is expected to be taken in or spent by our elected representatives. They have failed to do this. They have failed to uphold the Constitution of the United States. This is just one incident, but it is a major incident because it is a mandate in the Constitution, which means you must do it. There is nothing in the Constitution that says, oh, we're going to go ahead and delay it, we're going to work around it, and all that. There is nothing in there that gives them that right. They cannot even vote that right for themselves because they would have to do an amendment to the Constitution, and there is no amendment to the Constitution to give Congress the right to circumvent it. The Constitution is your guarantee of your freedoms and to be dealt with equally and justly. And everybody is subject to the Constitution of the United States, including the Supreme Court of the United States of America, also the President and the Vice President and all elected and appointed officials. They are no better than the average American working citizen. Now, I hope that answers your question better. So we are actually going to file complaints now using the fiduciary responsibility violations as the number one thing, as the number one issue, because it is a legal act. And our elected officials have violated the Constitution. And we can get restitution because in this case here, since you probably just listened in now, remedies. When found guilty or breach of a fiduciary must return to the principal, to the taxpayers, to the citizens, the benefits gained, such as pay, benefits, and profits obtained as a result of the relationship. And then compensatory damages are also available. So, we can take basically their wages, all of their perks, all of their extra things that they received while they were working in the best interest of we the people. We can do this on a federal, state, and local basis. But the number one issue is going after those who failed to pass a budget and to get the budget signed by the president. That takes the Democrats and the Republicans to work together for the good of we the people who put them in there. We the people are the principal. The Democrat Party and the Republican Party and the independents are the agents. They are the representative agents of we the people. They are our servants. They are there to serve the people. They are not nobility. They are not our bosses. They are servants to us. They do as they are supposed to do, and that is in the Constitution of the United States of America. That was designed to protect we the people. So now I hope that clarified the person who wrote in the chat room.
They had a follow-up here, and I was putting some stuff in the chat room, but we'll go ahead and talk about it. How do we separate the elected representative's fiduciary responsibility from the fiduciary responsibility of, say, a bank or who administers a trust for a minor? Well, I would contend it's the same. It's the exact same duty. The duty is two different principals and two different agents. The representative is our agent. We are the principal. They are supposed to be working on our behalf, not on CSX. And the exact same thing happens in the other scenario. The agent is working on behalf of that minor. What their actions should be on the best in the best interest of their principal, whoever that is. It doesn't matter who the agent is or who. Once you've entered into a relationship, a trust relationship like that, then it applies across the board. It really doesn't matter whether it's the banker versus the real estate agent versus the congressional representative, the senator, whoever. They are the agent working for the principal, and in this case, we, the people, are the principal. I hope that kind of clarifies that one, too.
Right.
Tom, are you still out there?
Yes.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah, I'm up there.
Well,
Sally's right, Ned, because each practice or lack of performance, if you will, is a case-by-case thing. But this is common law. This isn't getting into all... Let's talk about the budget, for instance. This isn't getting to all the we couldn't get the budget because of this parliamentary procedure or that. That's irrelevant because the end result was they did not prepare a budget. So it's called common law, and you could even call it simple law if you want. Simple law is if two parties agree to do something, we agree to elect you because you agree to represent the people. You have drawn a simple contract, a basic contract. Now, when one party violates that, then you're violating the common law, the understanding between the parties. And that's what's happened here. You know, we don't care what your parliamentary procedure was. We are required, mandated by law, that you come up with a result. That's why we put you there. You took an oath that said you would meet the people's needs and you would represent the people. We don't care about your procedures. We don't care who the majority whip is, who the minority whip is. That's irrelevant to the people. It's the result of the mutual agreement. And in common law, they violated that. They did not prepare the budget as required. You could say complicated or more detailed law, they violated the particulars of the Constitution. But in the common law, the basic common law that we understand, they violated that. Now, we want to hold them responsible. And there is a vast amount of evidence to show that they violated it. Without getting into it, we could even talk about their lack of reading bills when they vote on them. That's a fiduciary responsibility. That's a responsibility of them to read it before they vote on it because they're representing us. Now, we have testimony from that idiot, Nancy Pelosi, who got up to the public podium and says, well, we got to pass the bill to find out what's in it.
Right.
That statement has been all over the world. And she insults the United States of America. What she basically said when she said this is, I'm violating the Constitution of this country because I'm going to vote on something before I know what it's all about. That's her fiduciary responsibility. That's common law practice. Without getting into all the technicalities of the law or whichever law they're supposed to be reviewing and stuff, she violated that by saying, I'm going to vote on it without even knowing what I'm voting on. She's basically saying, I'm representing the people, and the people are stupid, so I'm going to do what I want. That's what she's saying. That's a clear, common, basic law violation. And they can be held responsible for that and be compelled from here on in to read every law. What, they thought their job was going to be easy? They were going to go on golf junkets and everything all the time? You know, or play with the interns? No, that's not what it's about. This is about representing the people. It's granted it could be a difficult job at times, but it has its rewards. But the reward isn't sacrificing this country. That's not the reward. The reward is representing this country. And common law says if you're going to vote on a bill, then you best know what you're voting on. Otherwise, you are violating your duties to the people.
Guess what, Tom? You have just brought up number two. Because I'll tell you what, that is the one bill we have to do because also... Why is it that this congressman got $10 million earmarked for his family to go into business so they could bankrupt it in 4 years? That is something that, because Congress didn't read it. And who is writing these bills? We don't know. Because Acorn wrote the bill at one time. Apollo has written some bills. These are bills being written by other people. They're written by doctors. They're written by SEIU.
Anybody can write a bill, Charlie. I've drafted proposals myself for the New York State Legislature, and I've actually had a couple of them read on the floor, but they never got that far because I'm not a lobbyist. I couldn't go to Albany and lobby my bill, but I've actually read them. What you do is you've got to get an elected official to sponsor it. You draft it, and you send it to them, and they sponsor it, and then they read it on the floor. And then, it's a bill. It gets an identification number and stuff, but then it's got to go through the committees and such. And that's where the big money, the lobbyists come in, and they
That's bribery.
It. You know, yeah.
And that involves bribery, which is going to be another thing that we can go after now, too, because I'm sure that this is going to lead to a lot of other things. And we're, hey,
yeah,
they're either going to turn turkey and admit to their wrongdoings to we the people, or they're going to be looking at jail time, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I'm ready to go for the juggler. Put them in
jail. Let's hope this gets into high gear. But I know we're winding down. I know Sally may want to close out with some comments.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, well,
Sally.
Yep, I'm here. Hold on 1 second. got several things going on here in the chat room. Last week, right after we got off of this show, we tuned into another Blog Talk Radio, which is Friends of Liberty, and the link is in the chat room. They're going to be having a good show tonight, it looks like, so if you want to, you might want to tune into that. The other is Doreen. She said she had one more thing to say, so I was going to go ahead and open that mic up for her Doreen. We're down to like 5 minutes, so what do you think?
Read that phone number off.
Read which phone number off?
For the link to that other show.
Okay. Well, Doreen, go ahead.
Well, all I was going to say is now our next big job is going to be to find a judge that will hear our cases and proceed.
Well, they either find it or else they're going to be added to the list.
Well, that's what I'm afraid of, Charlie. We're going to have a hell of a long list.
That's okay.
Because we already know about 25 judges that have no business being on the behind that desk.
Then maybe we got to go to them first so that we can put them on the list.
That sounds like an idea.
Okay.
And we can start in Florida or Georgia or Wisconsin. There's a whole hell of a lot of states we can start in. We can even start here in Texas.
In Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, too, in California.
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay, I'm trying to see if we can get the call-in number for the next show.
347-884-9499, that sound like it?
Sounds good to me. I don't know if that's it or not.
Well, I'll try
just
that again.
In the search engine and look it up.
Well, the main thing is it's Blog Talk Radio, and it's called, let me get the name of it again, Friends of Liberty. So if you go to the Blog Talk Radio, Friends of Liberty, that you'll find it there. And, okay, let's see. Oh, so Charlie did have it right. Charlie, you want to say it again?
347-884-9499. And then press 1 if you want to talk.
Okay.
All right. All right, I'm going to close now with my usual God bless America, God bless our troops, and ladies and gentlemen, if you love America, which I'm sure you do because you're listening to Blog Talk Radio, get involved. We're at AmericanStatesman.org.
Okay, and looks like John may have one quick question. John, did you have one last thing you want to say real quick here?
Yeah, I put that link on there for the next show. All they got to do is click on it. It'll give you the number. It'll take you right to it.
Okay. Appreciate that, and yeah, I think I'll be tuning into that. And Tom, thank you so much for joining us tonight. This has been an excellent discussion. Any last words you want to wrap up with?
Well, I'm real glad Charlie got that number and passed it on because I think we had a collective fiduciary duty to get that number out and inform people. We met our duty and obligation. And I'm glad we did.
But I have failed. Hopefully. I failed because I didn't get it out there. Tell me one more time. 347?
884-9499.
Now, I want politicians to take heed of that. We met our fiduciary duty, and I expect you politicians to do the same.
Well, I'm going off to another
it.
Corner of the world. I'm going over to Tea Party Blog Talk Radio. Founders Quest, and I'm going to get them on board with Charlie's fiduciary.
It's Tom's fiduciary. Tom's the fiduciary. He's the one that got it first.
Yeah, but Charlie, let me tell you something, sweetie, and this is not an insult, but you get wound up on this, and you're like an 8-day clock, and there's no off button.
Thank you for the compliment.
We love you, Charlie.
Love you all, too. God bless all you patriots.
On that note, we will wrap it up tonight. This has been an excellent discussion, and we see we have a lot of work to do, but the most important thing is we have options. We have things we can do. We the people do not have to be we the sheeple, okay? We've got to get out of this we the sheeple mentality that we have to do what we're told.
And I'm a goatple.
What's that?
I'm a goatple.
Oh.
A goat tail.
Stubborn by default.
There you go.
An 8-day clock. I ain't never heard of that one.
That's a good one.
That's a great one.
Well, I got much more of them, too.
We will save those for the next show. And just keep them going in that chat room. I love it. That chat room was going like crazy tonight, too. So that was some good information. And Thomas, the attorney, was out in the chat room, so I hope we were able to answer some of his questions. And we can get back a little bit on the 13th Amendment. So 13th Amendment is all relative because of who sits in public office today. If that 13th Amendment was in force like it's supposed to be, we would have a whole different situation in Washington, D.C. today, in public office, period. So I think that's the other interesting part. But, okay, anyway, let's go ahead and wrap this up for tonight, and we can switch over to the other show. And it's been an excellent discussion, and thank you for tuning in. And as always, may God bless the USA. Good night.
Good night.
Night, y'all.
Night.
Good night, John Boy.